Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. God bless you. You may please be seated. Tonight, my stay with you is going to be in two sections. The first section, I want to talk to you like father to his children. The second session will be the short preaching that I have prepared. The second session will be determined by whether you still like me when I finish the first section. Because the first section is going to be... All right. Amen. So let's go to the first section straight away. There is a difference between enthusiasm and unruliness. It is one thing to be enthusiastic, it's another thing to be unruly. You know, some of the elders expect us youth to be unruly. We must surprise them. We must show them that we can be disciplined. We must show them that we can be controlled. We must show them that, yes, we are strong, we're exuberant, but the moment we say silence, we'll be silent. Do I hear amen to that? Good. Number two, of all the instruments in the Bible for praising God, the whistle is not mentioned. So next time you see somebody sitting next to you whistling, tell him, no, we don't do that in church. Do I hear somebody shout hallelujah? You see, everything has its place. There are instruments you use on the football pitch. There are instruments you use in the church. The whistle is okay on the football pitch. It's not allowed in the church of God. Thank you. That's number two. Now, we're talking about being unstoppable. And that is why I want to talk to you about some things that I know can stop you if you don't take care. I want to talk to you about marriage. It's not sermon. This is talking father to children. That's why I said by the time I finish, you may not even like me. After that, I want to talk to you about music. After that, I want to talk to you about something else. Let's start with marriage. Listen to me very carefully, my beloved daughters. Don't marry a man who has no job. Before God gave Adam Eve, he gave him a job. He said, this is the garden. Keep it. So those who come to you and say, sister, thus saith the Lord, you are going to be the star in my firmament. All right, sir. Before I become the star in your firmament, what is your job? And if he tells you he's a contractor, ask him to show you evidence of all the contracts he has done. Because the contract he's talking about is you. He wants to live off you. Don't be a fool. If he hasn't got steady income, he hasn't got a job, don't marry him. Go and get a job first. The man is to provide for the house, not the other way around. If he has no income, he should not marry. Those who would not work should not eat. And if they can't eat, they can't even marry. Amen? All right, let me talk to my boys. Don't marry Delilah. Because Delilah can stop Samson. What does that mean? Don't marry for beauty's sake. The Bible is clear. Proverbs chapter 31 verse 30. Proverbs 31 verse 30 said, beauty is vain. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is what? Vain. One preacher was preaching, I think it's one of our pastors, on the day of the wedding of one brother. I don't know why he has to say that on the wedding day. He should have said it before the wedding day. He said, brother, look at the mother of your wife. Look at her very well. Brother said, yes, I'm looking. He said, that's how your wife is going to become. That is the truth. That beautiful, angelic something, she's going to grow old. Everybody grows old. Don't marry for beauty's sake. That's number one. Don't ever dare marry outside the church. I want to tell you point blank that it is better to be single than to be married to the devil. Do you agree with that? If you marry the wrong fellow, you are in soup. Several years ago, a friend of mine says to me, he said, EA, because we are close, so we'll call ourselves by initials. I said, yes. He said, I want to divorce my wife. I said, ah. If you do that, you will go to hell. He said, where have I been since the day I married? I pray for all of you. You will never marry the wrong fellow. Those of you who have already married the wrong fellow, there's no room for divorce. Just carry your cross and follow Jesus. His grace will be sufficient for you. Don't ever think that you can marry somebody and then change the fellow. If the fellow does not change before you marry, it's a settled matter. Ah, no problem. I am standing on the rock of ages. And that brother, that sister, I know she's still in the miry clay of sin. I will pull him up. I will pull out. He will pull you down. So I'm going to begin by talking to my daughters. Because you are very special people to me. I don't want you to enter. I don't want you to enter into wrong hands. Because you see that brother? He's tall, lanky, handsome, rich, and you jump for him. Goliath was tall. He lost his head. King Saul was lanky. He lost his crown. Don't marry a fool. His externals doesn't matter. His wealth is of no account. If he's not a true child of God, don't be associated with him. The word of God is clear. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelief. And if somebody pretends that he's a Christian, he's following you to church because he's thinking that he could get you, all you need to do is watch. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them, not by their talk. There are some sweet talking demons. Stay away from them. When a brother comes to you and he says, hey, I've never seen anybody like you before. You are like an angel. Yeah, when I saw you, I think the sun is shining. Ah, you better run. Ask him, do you believe in holiness? If he says no, if he says no human being can be perfect, that we are all flesh, only God is perfect, the moment you hear that, run. Because if you marry a boy who does not believe in holiness, you will only be wife number one. If he says he doesn't believe in holiness, ask him, which of the Ten Commandments can you not keep? Will you kill? You say, of course not. What do you think I am? I'm a child of God. Will you steal? Even before I became a Christian, I never stole. The only one he will tell you, well, is thou shalt not commit adultery. You marry a boy who does not believe in holiness and says holiness is old-fashioned, you are the one who dug your own grave. So when other guests begin to show up, he will say, but I told you I don't believe in holiness. I told you I am not perfect, that nobody can be perfect. And I'm telling you the truth, talking from experience. I'm 70 years old, you know. And then I've had you girls, some of you girls say, one thing we don't like about the Redeemed Christian Church of God, and before I continue, let me tell you one thing. If you don't like what I'm telling you now, please just buy the tape. Keep it. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you will remember tonight. Then you can reach up for the tape and say, huh, Daddy says certain things, so I wish I listened then. One thing we don't like about the Redeemed Christian Church of God is they don't allow us to marry with rings. Oh. Why do you want to wear the ring? Ah, so that everybody will know that I am married. The boys will leave me alone. Really? How long does it take to pull out a ring? 2 seconds. How many seconds? 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I'm sure you know the passage, but I will quote it the way some of you will want it to be written. If the ring is for us, who can be against us? Is that what is written in the Bible? Huh? If God is for us, that's why we marry you with Bibles. Anybody can pocket the ring. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Settled. When we marry you with the Bible, what we are saying is, the two of you, take note. From today onward, the one who wrote the Bible will watch over you. Everywhere you go. The Bible says God watches over his word to perform it. A ring can be pulled off. It can be thrown away. It doesn't matter. The Bible remains. You can burn your own Bible. You can't burn my own. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. So don't be childish. Don't think we don't know what we are doing. We are no fools. Somebody told me, but what about Isaac and what's the name of his wife? Tell me now. You think I don't know? He said that Isaac, the servant of Abraham, gave to Rebekah rings. I said, read the Bible. Read it very well. He gave to her earrings. Didn't say finger rings. That's one. Just follow the Bible. Don't take my word. And then, what happened to these earrings? In the future, as they journey to the promised land, when Moses went to collect the Ten Commandments, and the children of Israel said, we want an idol, we want a God that we can see. What was it that they gave to Aaron? What? Thank you, I'm happy you know the Bible. Aaron said, when they said they want a God they can see, I said, all right, give me your earrings. They gathered the earrings. I threw the earrings into the fire, and out came, and out came this idol. If you want to wear earring, I don't care. You can wear one that is as big as a basin. But I want you to know, those who will read reach the top must be peculiar. They must be what? There's always room at the top because few people get there. Few people. Check. And they will tell you. There was a time when all the ministers of God in Nigeria were going about wearing flowing gowns and big hats, and I was wearing my little French suit. They called me names. They called me Hunter. They use every language they can. I told them I am special, and by the time this thing is over, I will be number one. How many of you will be number one? How many of you will be peculiar? How many of you will be special? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. You cannot be like everybody else and be an example. An example is always someone who is different from all others, that others will copy. Not somebody who copies others. Many of you want to copy what is going on in America, of all places. I'm sorry to say, I have many friends in America, but you don't, even those who are Americans, who are connected with me, say, we wish we could come and live in Nigeria. That's what they say. You want to copy anybody, you want to copy America? You want to copy American Christianity? Where pastors run away with the wife of their sons? That's what you want to copy? The devil is a liar. They will come and copy you because you will be peculiar. Do I hear your amen? Don't marry Delilah. Don't marry outside. The parents of Samson told him, they are not women of your own people. And I'm telling you, boys, unless you are blind, we have a lot of fantastic girls in this church. I can say so because the elders say, if your daughter is good, you can say so, only you can marry her. So I'm right to say, I have looked around, I have seen my girls. They are fantastic. So for you to go outside this fold, to go and bring a devil from somewhere else, when you are not crazy. Now I'm going to come closer home to you boys. I hope you are listening. That's why I said that by the time I finish, you may not like me, but you will remember tonight. Marry a girl simply because she can sing. Singing is wonderful. God loves worshipers. But the devil used to be the choir master in heaven. And in some choir, I'm not talking of the redeemed presented of God now, but in some choir, there are some fallen angels. They can sing like nobody's business, but they are equally yoked with the devil. Don't marry a girl simply because she can sing. Who should I marry then, Daddy? Marry a prayer warrior. Any girl who cannot pray for 1 hour non-stop, don't marry her. Don't forget what I'm telling you. Buy the tape, listen to it later. There are those that I've advised before, we ignored my advice. Now they come to me and they say, you warned us. And I'm warning you now. Don't marry a girl who is lazy. You pay their family a surprise visit and you see the way she is. If she's lazy when she's a girl, how is she going to cope when she's married and have children? How will she cope? Don't marry a girl who cannot cook. You don't want to spend all your money going to Mr. Biggs. You want to eat food in your own house. A girl who cannot cook will not be a good wife. Do I hear somebody say amen? You want more? Don't marry a girl who is worldly. A girl who will not dress right. A girl who is always after jewelry. If you do, you have gotten something you will worship for the rest of your life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3 says, those of us who are risen, we are to focus on things above, not on things beneath. I'm believing God that when you marry, you will marry the right person. But some of us, what shall we do now? We already married the wrong person. If you have already married the wrong person, manage with that. Because if you say you divorce and you say, well, God is a God of second chance, who told you that the second one will not be worse than the first? After all, the devil you know is better than you can complete that one for me. Maybe I should stop for marriage so I can talk about it. Remember what I said at the beginning. It's better to be single than to be married to the wrong person. If you marry the wrong person, your hell begins on earth. It takes only the supernatural intervention of the Almighty God to rescue you if you marry the wrong fellow. if the angel that brought Lot and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah was not standing between the two of them, when the wife looked back and became a pillar of salt, he would have turned Lot to a pillar of salt too. So I pray for those of you who are wrongly married, the Almighty God who can do anything, we change the wrong to the right in Jesus' name. That those of you who have not yet entered into that trap, in the name that's above every other name, you will not marry the wrong fellow in Jesus' name. Now let me talk about music. The Bible talks about making a joyful noise to the Lord. That is true. But when he's talking about making a joyful noise, he was talking about shouting hallelujah. He wasn't talking about music. Music is not music unless it is organized. For anything to be called music, it must have rhyme, it must have rhythm, and it must have repetition. Three things: rhyme, rhythm, repetition. That's why when you hear good music, when you hear holy, 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 you have repetition. But you can see the thing going. There's a rhyme, there's rhythm, as well as repetition. I know you want just any music, particularly if it's coming from America. And the only thing that is there is repetition. The rhyme is gone. The rhythm is not there. I am blessed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I am blessed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, 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 no. You see, music is so important, you know. Because the right kind of music keep the devil away. 1 Samuel 16. You can read it from verse 14 to the end. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 to the end. When a demon was tormenting King Saul, what was it they said? Sir, let's get somebody who will come and sing for you. And they sent for David. Go through the Psalms, and you will see the kind of songs that David sang that drove the demons away. Listen to the hymns. You may think they are old-fashioned. Go through them. You'll be amazed at how the Holy Spirit inspired those who wrote. There are some beautiful modern songs, so wonderful. There was one song somebody composed not too long ago, Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Beautiful. But there are some songs that we always say we want to sing it because we are young. I wouldn't say, I would not have said anything. I would have kept my mouth shut if I don't know that wrong music can invite demons. I happen to know. I'm sure by now you must have discovered that by the grace of God, I do compose songs myself. if you meet any of my classmates, they will tell you that way back in my grammar school days, I've been writing poems. Even though I specialize in mathematics, I once wrote a poem that was in one, I've forgotten the name of the magazine now, that was national number one magazine for poetry. I put my poem there. So I know the importance of music. And let me tell you the truth. Do you know that the number one reason why God chose David to be king was because he was a musician, singing the right kind of songs? Some of you are old enough to have seen in the villages where they have masquerades that the drummers can make the masquerade mad by the kind of drums they beat. I still remember as if it were today, way back in 1950 something, one big masquerade came out in our village. Usually masquerade take whips, cane, and when they go around, so they cane their friends. Those one will wear special dress to receive the cane. But the devil is a terrible fellow. But this particular masquerade, just for fun, for historical fun, always there's somebody walking with him carrying an axe. The axe is never used, but it's just there. And then one day he was in the marketplace, and the drummer began to beat his drum. Collide with him, smite him, collide with him, smite him. You can't do like your father had done. I don't know how best to say it in English than that. Dibolu kolu. Oh, le shebi baba retin she dibolu kolu. And suddenly, he turned to the fellow carrying his axe, and he wanted to grab the axe. And he was completely crazy, because demons have already taken possession of him. Fortunately, the drummer saw what havoc he has done, and he quickly changed the drum. I said, and then called the name of the fellow. Lagbaja, the son of so and so, when it is evil, you will be the only one remaining. Because he was struggling with this fellow, he wanted to take the ass, and he was going to be pursuing people with the ass. Everyone said, when trouble comes, so I won't be around. I have seen drums, I've seen the wrong kind of music turn people to something entirely different. My beloved children, let us show the world that it is possible to have wonderful music, music that will glorify God, music that will refresh, music that will drive away demons, music that will bring the Almighty God down, not just noise. So in your own fellowship, let people know these ones are different. They are young, their music is yet refreshing. I'm not saying that you must spend all the time singing hymns. There are beautiful new songs, but check the wordings, check the rhythm, check the rhyme. Do I hear amen to that? Suddenly you are already becoming quiet. which is very good, which means that I'm communicating. Do you know that the man who translated the Bible to English language is also the one behind the original hymn book, because he knew that the two must go together, the Word of God and hymns of God. Let me talk to you one more thing, and then I will talk briefly about the sermon if you still want to hear that. And that's evangelism. When we were your age, we took evangelism seriously. We allowed the elders to be elders. We told them the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but the young ones scattered abroad. We were proud to tell people about Jesus Christ. Those of us who had the money bought megaphone, and we went about at least once a week to proclaim Jesus Christ. We went everywhere. And you can ask some of the elders. There was a particular town in Kwara State. At that time, I was a lecturer at the University of Ilorin. And they told me that there is no church there. Nobody dares go there to preach the gospel. I said, "Is that so?" They said, "Yeah." Then, here I come. If you go there, they will stone you. I said, I've been looking for an opportunity to be stoned. Because when I get to heaven and I meet Paul the Apostle and he begins to tell me his experiences, what will I say? When he tells me how many times he was stoned, how many times he was whipped, what will I tell him? I will tell him, "Oh, well, brother, so me too, I suffered for Jesus. One day I was going to church and the rain beat me." I said, "Gamma," that's the name of the village, "Gamma, here we come." Some of the elders at that time, they are still alive till today. I said, "We are going." They said, "If you lead the way, we will follow." I said, "Let's go." And we got there. They told us, "We don't want your Jesus." I said, you will receive him. We went from house to house. They reported us to the Baale. That's the high chief. That one sent for us. We said, "We are not quarreling. We are not saying anything against Muhammad. We are just saying Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. We're not causing any trouble." So he said, "Okay, you can go." And so we left. And we continued. And they went to report us the second time. They called us the second time. They said, "We have not caused any trouble. We're not, look at us. We're not troublemakers." And then my people began to say, "We better leave now because it's getting dark." I said, "But we want to show film." We brought, in those days it was this, what do you call it, that show film? Was this real film, What, the projector? Well, we came with a projector, we came with film, we are going to show film. But if it gets dark, let it get dark. Jesus is my light. And we showed the film, and those who didn't want to receive Jesus Christ during the daytime came at night. Today, in all the places where they said there were no churches, go there, you see the Redeemed Christian Church of God there. It was the work that we did when we were young. So I'm appealing to you in the name of the Almighty God. Rise up like a mighty army. We were not. How many of us there? The whole church, the entire redeemed presentation of God at the time I'm talking about, we were less than 700 in number. But we are not 700 ordinary people. We are 700 people who are ready to be different, who are ready to be peculiar, who are ready to show the whole world that Jesus lives, when we are not afraid. And I tell those people who are following me now, quite a few of them are here now. It takes only a few people to cause a riot in the university. Am I correct? When a few people can cause a riot in the university, why don't few people cause a riot in the kingdom of the devil? Why don't we go into the kingdom of the devil and tell him, you can't stop us? The gates of hell shall not prevail. That's why God has made you strong. And if you use your strength for him, if you will not keep your mouth shut, he will see to it that even in your old age, you will still remain strong. I was telling the university, the graduating students, I said, hey, wisdom guarantees strength and health. And I told them, during this last convention, I led my people on a little walk around the camp. We left from here. We went to the water tower, down there, branched, went to the main gate, and came back here. I led the way at 70. It was a distance of about 16 kilometers. And when I came here, I was waiting for those who are less than 40 years old. I had to wait some 30 minutes before some of them arrived. Use your strength for God, and that strength will last. Use your mouth. Don't keep quiet. And people say that the reason we succumb to pressure is because, no. The reason you succumb to pressure is because you are timid. Nobody ever invited me to come and join a secret cult. Because before they can talk about their cult, I'm already talking about Jesus Christ. They knew that I'm different. How many of you will begin to witness for Jesus Christ? And he will answer all your prayers in Jesus' name. All right. Now, are you still willing to hear my sermon? Okay. I won't take too much of your time now, from now on. Joshua chapter 1. The unstoppable generation. Joshua chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 1 to 9. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein and day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That passage is written for somebody here tonight. Do you know that as far as God is concerned, if the fathers fail, their children will not? The children of Israel in Numbers chapter 14, verse 27 to 31, Numbers 14, verse 27 to 31, got an answer from the Almighty God as a result of what they said in verse 1 to 10. In verse 1 to 10 of the same chapter, they had said, "We cannot take the land. Let's go back to Egypt. We don't want our children to be meat for the enemies. We're going back." God said, "Fine. You want to go back? You don't want to enter into the promised land? You won't go in." He said, "But your children will make it." What God said concerning the redeemed Christian Church of God is that we are going to take over the world for Him. By the grace of God, your fathers have tried. As of today, by the grace of God, the redeemed Christian Church of God is in more than 160 nations of the world. Your parents have tried. They tried. And they did most of this work when they were young. My father in the Lord died without the redeemed Christian Church of God going outside of Nigeria. Thank God that when he died, he handed over to those of us who were youth. At that time, I wasn't even 40 years old. Many of the people who were with me, they were younger. We were all youth. And with the strength of youth, with the dynamism of youth, and of course with great divine discipline and backing, we march forward. Thank God we are where we are today. It is your turn. Whose turn? Talk to yourself. Don't talk about us. My turn. It is your turn. Whose turn? To grab this thing and move it further. And I'm happy to announce to you today that by the special grace of God, beginning from now, we have appointed 7 youth evangelists. And we are starting with only 7. The number will increase as we go along. You are going to take over the world. I can't even hear your amen. Why? Because the counsel of God will stand. The redeemed Christian Church of God, whether the devil likes it or not, is going to cover the face of the earth. In every home, all over the world, there will be at least 1 member of the redeemed Christian Church of God. No doubt about it at all. Moses failed to take the people to the promised land. God says to Joshua, Moses is dead, you arise and take over. Moses may fail, Joshua will not. You are the next generation, and you are not going to fail. I say you will not fail. Provided there's a proviso. Provided you don't forget your foundation. Moses laid the foundation. Solid foundation. And linked Joshua to that foundation. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9 says, Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. You are to build on the foundation that had been laid for you by your fathers. Today, there are all kinds of ministries all over the world. Glory be to God. I thank God for them. I pray that God will continue to prosper them. I take my word. A ministry is not established until there has been a successful transition. Until there have been at least one successor. Until then, you cannot say that a ministry has been established. There must be at least one transition before, if there's a transition and all still goes well and things continue to grow, then you say, this ministry is established. So when you see all those who seem to be flying high now, be careful. I'm talking to my children. All that glitters is not gold. And let me tell you the truth. Those who copy, who speak like other people speak, because they say, in America, this is how they speak. Everybody, hey, you hear, man, yeah, you see in the house, yeah, man. All right. It is one thing to gather the crowd. It's another thing for the crowd to stay. And if you look at what is happening there now, and I don't need to tell you, you can do a little bit of research, you will understand why you should thank God that He has planted you in the redeemed Christian Church of God. Thank God for that. God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. There is a link between Joshua and Moses. Don't play with your foundation. Oh, you may think the elders, they are old fashioned. We are the youth. We are the one in there. They don't know the in thing. They are old men. I've told my children, the elders are the foundations, the youth are the flowers. They call it, that's why they talk about you, they talk about the flowers of youth. Let me tell you the truth, it's a dangerous thing to be a flower. Why? People go to pluck flowers and bring it in. Nobody touch the roots. And flowers come, flowers go, the root will remain. If you remain connected to your root, you will never dry up. And learn from history. Learn from the history of Joshua. God said to Joshua, you will be unstoppable. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Joshua said, amen. And then he began to move forward. And then came Joshua chapter 7. And the children of Israel went against a small town called Ai. And they were defeated. And Joshua fell on his face. God, you promised me nobody will be able to. God said, sin has entered. And unless you restitute, you are done for. This is how far you will go. Listen to me, my children. The one who is unstoppable is the one who will not allow sin to come in. Our God is a holy God. He won't tolerate sin. And he insists on restitution. He told Joshua, unless you take the wrong thing out, I won't go with you anymore. And after they restituted, he said, hey, now I will teach you how to fight. Those people who defeated you, you will wipe them out. Whatever is in your life that is hindering your progress, whatever is in your life that is causing the enemy to triumph over you, the Almighty God will give you the grace to get rid of it tonight. Saul failed. But David didn't. When King Saul forgot his source, he dried up. When he forgot the one who made him king, God removed his crown. And he put in a young boy to take over from him. What is the secret of David? And I'm going to close in the next 2-3 minutes. I've told you a little bit about it before. Psalm 89 verse 1. Psalm 89 verse 1. David said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known his faithfulness to all generations. David was a witness. He said, I will keep on witnessing to all generations. I will tell everybody. He was a worshiper. He worshiped the Lord in spirit and in truth. So if you will just do some things, if you will worship God all the days of your life, worship him, true worship, not just mere joyful noise, if you will witness without compromise, if you are ready to be different from all others, just as light is different from darkness, just as white is different from all other colors, if you are ready to be holy, and you refuse to follow multitude to do evil, and then if you are ready to pray without ceasing, I can assure you, nobody will be able to stop you. Sitting down together with me here tonight is a generation that will win the whole world for Jesus Christ. Some years ago, when CNN came to interview me, and I told them that, by the grace of God, we're going to have a church within 5 minutes distance of one another in the whole world. In every family of the world, we're going to have a member of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. That man looked at me and said, isn't that a tall order? Isn't that a big dream? I said, yes, sir, it is. I am a dreamer, but my dreams always come true. He said, there must be a secret you know that I don't know. I said, yes, sir. You want me to tell you the secret? He said, no. I said, if you can only visit my churches, you will discover that 70% at least of the congregation is made up of youth. I have in my church, by the grace of God, people who are young, who are strong, who will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue wherever I stop. And I'm not stopping yet. I was telling my children something that happened in 1979, and with that I close. Christmas Day, 1979, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly the Spirit of God came down and gave me 28 prophecies. How many? I can't hear you. And I wrote them down. Incredible things. Things difficult to believe. And almost all the 28 have been fulfilled. One of the things he said, which I'm going to tell you, very few people have ever heard this from me. He said, I will build you an army, and you will lead them to battle in my name. As I look at you tonight, I see the army. Are you ready to march forward for Jesus Christ? Are you ready to take the world for Jesus Christ? Stand on your feet. Let me hear you shout one big hallelujah. I want you to lift your voice to the Almighty God and tell Him, I don't want to be an ordinary soldier in your army. I want to be an officer. Empower me, O Lord. Empower me. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. I want to be an officer, an unstoppable officer in the army of the Almighty God. I don't want to be an ordinary soldier. I want to be an officer in the army of the Almighty God.